Right, this morning we shall continue our study on this important phrase of "let us." If you remember last night, what we have learned about "let us," I wonder whether at the end of this camp you can remember all the 11 verses of the "let us." Actually, there are 12. One is, as I said, last night was a repeated one. So if you can remember all, it would be very wonderful for us to remind ourselves that it is not "let me," right? It's not "let me," it's not a journey that you're going to do it by yourself and you regard others far away from you. It's going to be "let us," it's not going to be "let you" also. It's not going to be point your finger and say, "you must do it, you must do that," and then we ourselves will not do it. So it's always "let us." Therefore, the camp objective that we are talking about, and I think we want to emphasize and again, is that we all need to move forward together in Christ. And in order to move forward together, remember, the focus as we move forward has to be one person. It's not going to be Uncle John, right? It's not going to be Desmond, but the one person that we move forward together and we look to is always the Lord Jesus Christ. And he must be the most precious. So what's the name verse? First, the first chapter? Two verse seven. Can you say it together with me?
You therefore which live, he is precious.
So the Lord Jesus must be the most precious person to us. Then we have the same focal point, we have the same objective, the same goal, and then we can move forward together. Now just a very quick revision of what we learned yesterday. So the first step that we all must move and start in this journey of faith, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter,
still remember chapter 1 yesterday?
Chapter 4, right? Chapter 4 verse 1. Chapter 4 verse 1, we have to start this journey, and remember to start this journey, the Bible reminds us that we must let us what? Fear, because why? Because if we do not fear sin, if we do not flee away from sin, then we will fall short of receiving the promise of God's salvation rest. So, the journey has to begin by fleeing from sin, turning away from sin, and then have our salvation rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you and I can begin this journey corporately, united together. So we must ensure that our salvation is real. Therefore, the Bible always reminds us to examine ourselves, whether we are in faith. So whether you are a 1-year-old Christian, a 10-year-old Christian, a 20-year-old Christian, 30-year-old Christian, every moment, every time when we come before the Lord, ask the Lord to examine us. Search me, am I in the faith? And ask that we are truly in the faith, we have salvation rest, we have the promise of God, and we flee from sin. That's how we start the journey. And then, we talk about the end journey, right? The end point. What's the end point? Our end point of this journey is heaven rest. That is promised to us. The heaven rest is promised to us. And the Bible says we must labor, right? Labor. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 11. We must labor. We must labor to enter into the rest. Then labor tells us that it has to be only what? One way. You've got to put away all else. Put away yourself, put away your own good works. That one way is the way of what? The way of the cross, the way of faith. And the promise of heaven, the heavenly rest is real. So our journey starts with Christ, and our journey will end with Christ in heaven. And that is a sure promise that God has given to us. 100% guarantee that that is the end point that we will be in. What a great joy, a great comfort to end our life knowing that we will be in heaven. Now then the third lesson that we learned, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16.
Yes.
Along that journey, it's going to be what? Not going to be easy. Along the road, remember the song? Along the road, right? It's going to be of troubles, difficulties, struggles, trials in life. But along the journey, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, the Lord promised us two important things that will come to us that always we can receive: grace and mercy. So when God looks at all of us with our misery, our trials, our problems, God looks with mercy. It's not someone who despises us, someone who looks down upon us, someone who makes fun of us. God looks upon us with mercy, and then God promises us grace. Every time you ask in time of your need, God promises to give us grace. So this journey is one of grace and mercy, and God promises that in this throne, we will always have it. Any time, any moment we need, God will give it to us. So I was thinking along my journey here. Afterwards, I will see the doctor, and if the doctor would tell me, "God, I'm sorry, yours is not part of cancer." What do I do? God, Desmond, I'm not coming anymore tonight. I'm not preaching. You take over me. God, it's not fair to me. I do all this for God. Why end up in this situation? If I end up this, please rebuke me. Please scold me. Please knock some sense into my head. Because God promised grace upon grace. Every trial, God promised us grace in time of our need. So we must know that we are fully assured that God looks upon us with mercy and grace in this journey. Now this morning we want to start with our second message. If you look at your camp book, right, we have another three verses of let us to deal with, and I want to entitle today's sermon as our growth in Jesus Christ. Now this journey of faith, this journey that we start, this journey that will end in heaven, this journey that God promised us, grace and mercy, is a journey that we must grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must grow together in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to move forward, we must grow together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like that we consider in chapter 6, verse 1, and then we will turn to chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23. And these two important aspects that I want to deal with you this morning is how to grow together, how to move forward together in two areas. Number one is in the Word of God, and number two is in faith. Right? In the Word of God, in chapter 6, verse 1, and then in faith, in chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23. I want us, let's take a short time and pause and pray first and ask that the Lord will help us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for this second day of the camp. As we learn your word, our body, O Lord, may be a little tired and weary. We may not have a good rest. Our flesh may be weak. But Lord, we pray that our spirit will be willing. And our spirit, our soul, Lord, will desire, will earnestly seek for thy blessing. And thou will speak to us with the Holy Spirit, prompting us, moving our heart. And thy word will quicken us, Lord, and make us alive, and enable us, Lord, that together we will walk this Christian journey, growing in it. So bless us with your word, encourage our heart, strengthen and revive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Alright, can you turn your Bible back to Hebrews chapter 5, where we read in verse 11. I'm always afraid that in the camp, after the first day, when we're all very enthusiastic, and we're all charged up, when we come to the camp, we're all ready to listen to gospel, but after the second day, and the third day, right, third day, just the last day, and we get a little tired, we get a little bored, and we take gospel for granted. And that's what happened in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11, where the author rebuked the Hebrew Christian, and he says that we have many things to say. Last night I was preparing and going through it again, and I realized I've got many things to say to you from my heart. But the author said what? I've got many things to say to you, and some are maybe hard for you to take it, you may not like it, hard to be uttered, and yet, I got a problem. What is the problem? In verse 11. What's the problem? You are what? You are dull of hearing. And that can be our problem. Even when we come to camp, our enthusiasm can die down very quickly. We become dull of hearing. The word down means what? Become lazy. Lazy. You're just lazy, you're just slothful, you're just half-hearted, you have no passion, and become down of hearing God's word. And I hope that it will not happen to each one of us, even as we listen to God's word again and again and again, that we will never become down of hearing. Do you know that when we come to the physical aspect, we are never down? Remember, sister, telling me, oh, someone say, my hair looks so messy, I look like auntie. Immediately she say, like, oh, I must go and cut my hair. No, everything that comes to our physical zone, we are all right. We are very excited. We want to make sure that we will be very quick to react. And someone say that, hey, Alan, how come you look so fat? Wow, what will you do? No, we are all ready to exercise to make sure that I won't look fat, I won't have this big tummy. How is it that when it comes to our physical look, our physical appearance, we react very fast, very quickly, and we are quick to ensure that we look good, and we look young, we look healthy, we look prim and proper. There's nothing wrong, right? There's nothing wrong going to cut your hair beautiful, go and get your six pack if you want. Right, go ahead and do that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But remember, the more important thing is that we must also, and even more so, when it comes to spiritual things, our soul, we must be quick to react and not dull of hearing. Oftentimes when it comes to spiritual truth, we get angry. And people tell us our sin, our fault, and we're not growing in Christ, we've done something not right spiritually. We're always very angry, we get defensive. No, I'm not like that. You don't know me, you don't know my situation. We are always defensive. We are not ready to receive, we're not ready to act upon it, just like we come to our physical look. We become down of hearing, and I hope that it will not be so. That in this time, as we grow in God's word, we will move forward together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 and let's read together, right? I'm going to begin and I want each one of us to grow in Christ. Move forward together in the Lord Jesus Christ and we must grow together in God's word. So let's see the first phrase. Let us. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. Let's read together. Ready? Go. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance of dead works and of faith toward God. See, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1, the Bible says, let us do what? Let us go unto perfection. The word perfection means maturity. Let's grow up. It's time to grow up, brothers and sisters. Right, you look at all the young ones and our young children in church, they go to the playground and they play and you say to yourself, kids, right? We are just kids, we are adults, or we are young adults, we no longer do such kiddy things and so childish. When it comes to spiritual life, the Bible says the same thing. Grow up in your spiritual maturity, move on, go on unto perfection. Let us move up together, let us move on and grow to perfection. Are you growing in Christ? How old have you been as a Christian? Maybe you're a Christian 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. You know what's a problem in the Christian life? You can be one, doing the same thing, learning the same thing, and so you're one and 10 years, actually you are just a 1 year old Christian. I say again, this is mathematics, spiritual mathematics. Don't do that in your maths, you fail. 1 and 10 years equal to 1. Because if you do the same thing, and you learn the same thing, and you repeat it 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, up to 10 years, in the end, it's equal to the same 1 year old Christian. They're just a 1 year old Christian, because all that you learn is the same. All that you do is the same for the Lord. You never grow. So, even after 10 years, so called as a Christian, you are actually a 1 year old Christian. 1 times 10 years equal to 1. Right, this is spiritual mathematics, and we can all add up a lot of time in this. You find that many times, even simple things like flipping the Bible to a certain chapter, to a certain book, a lot of Christians who are old-time Christians in church, cannot turn the Bible, and do not know where even certain books of the Bible is. Maybe minor problems we all struggle with, but I'm talking about even books in the New Testament, like Ephesians, Galatians. Why? Because You know what started this way, right? When you first became a Christian, you took the Bible, remember? You know how to pray to Dono, right? Oh, Dono. And then we learn God's word. We learn and we study. And then we grow. We know where is division, we know where is revelation. We all start with that. But if you never move on from that, and you're still the same, even after 10 years as a Christian, you are actually a 1-year-old baby Christian. That's all. So 1 times 10 years, you go to 1-year-old. And many of us can end up in this very sad situation in our Christian life. We are not growing yet. Why is it that I see in many fellowship groups that young people stick together, and then as they move to young adult, to adult, they all fall apart? I see that in my own youth fellowship last time, right? I was singing to you, right? I'm going Bible class, right? That's my Bible class, right? I was singing to you that, and we all fall apart. Because we were together based on activities. We came together a lot of time based on barbecue, based on fellowship, based on activities, based on steamboat dinner, based on the games, based on the hobby. We were all students and students. But we have the best thing about students is what? Free time, right? We have no more students. So it's based on the free time, right? Remember the best days, right? As a student, you have a lot of free time, but now we do not have. And so when you have all the free time, you have all the activities, you stay together. But you will fall apart because as you grow older, we will get busy in our work, we will have other responsibilities, and we don't have all the time together. And if we are bound together by activities, by our free time, we will fall apart. And that's what happened to many fellowship groups. That's what happened to my fellowship group. But if you want to stay together and move forward together as Jerusalem, as a church, then we must grow together, not in all these physical activities, but in our spiritual growth together. And that has to be the Word of God and faith. And when we grow in these two areas, we will be bound together and we will move forward together. We will not fall apart. It has to be this way. And I hope that you will learn this first lesson in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Can you look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1? What was the big problem that the Hebrew Christian faced? Do you know that at this time of the church, they are already about 40-year-old church? The Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven about AD 30, and now the book of Hebrews was written about AD 70. So, if you look at the growth of the church that first started until now, so it's about a 40-year-old church. So most of the Christians there could be along the way, come to know the Lord, but it could be quite old, seasoned, old-timer Christians, 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old Christians. And yet when the writer, when we release the apostle Paul writing to them and telling them, grow up, you are dull of hearing, and look at you. You are not ready, you are not growing the word of the Lord. And all that you have, and all that you are doing, if you look carefully, is that they are all just drinking the milk of God's word. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 12. In verse 12, and the author is rebuking them and say that, after all, you are now a 30-year-old Christian, 20-year-old Christian, and yet they are still drinking the milk of God's word. They are just drinking the milk of God's word. How sad, how pathetic you are in. Can you imagine again drinking a milk water? Can you imagine a big young man like him? And that's, you know, we get shocked, right? In a physical way, but in spiritual way, can you imagine a 30-year-old, 20-year-old Christian and still drinking milk of God's word? And what is the milk of God's word? The Bible tells us that they are still struggling, they still do not understand the basic doctrines of Christ. You go back to chapter 6, verse 1, and you find that even the basic doctrine of faith, he said, move on to perfection, move on to maturity, go and know the depth of God's word, go and know the meat of God's word. Why are you still struggling and just still learning all the basic foundation of what? Look at chapter 6 in verse 1, the basic foundation of repentance. You are still struggling with repentance. And then in verse 1 of chapter 6, you're still learning about faith in the Lord. These are all basic doctrines. And then in verse 2 of chapter 6, baptism. You still don't understand why baptism, why must I be baptized? And what whether baptism saves or not? Why are you still struggling with all these basic doctrines of laying of hands, ordination? And then of what? Resurrection of the dead. You still cannot understand this. And then of eternal judgment. Dearly beloved, these are all basic doctrines, fundamental doctrines of faith, of repentance, of faith, of judgment, of resurrection. And now you are now a grown up Christian, so called, right? A grown up Christian, and you are still struggling and failing to understand all this, and the author rebuked them. Grow up! Time to grow up! Don't be dull of hearing! Time to chew the meat of God's word! Time to know the depth of God's word! Time to dig the treasures of God's word and find great joy and meaning in it. How about you this morning? If I give you a test with all the basic doctrine, are you able to answer all the questions? You want a test? No, I don't think you want a test. But we have to ask ourselves, do I know God's word? And the Bible says, let us grow up together. Grow up together and know God's word. Now most of you here, I've seen you grow up physically. And you're now taller than me, eh? Right, most of you, or all of you. Right? And you're all young boys. I've seen you grow physically from a young boy, a young man. I've seen you grow materially as well. Last time you don't have anything, but now most of you possess good things in your life. But I want to see you grow spiritually. I want to see you grow in the depth of God's word. And that's the most important. And that's the greatest joy when I see a believer love God's word, study God's word, and grow up and mature in God's word, and start to chew on the meat of God's word, and know the depth of God's word. And that's the problem with the Hebrew Christian, and that's what the Bible says we must do together. And this togetherness that we must have is very important to grow in the knowledge of God's word together. I want to say this first, that we must help each other in our quiet time. If you want to chew and grow in the meat, the depth of God's word, then we have to make sure that our quiet time is consistent, and we have to do our quiet time every day. And this problem of quiet time, we must resolve, and I hope we can resolve in this time, that it's no more a struggle with you. It's just part of your Christian life. You struggle with brushing your teeth every morning. How many of you ever brushed teeth this morning to get? No mission trip together. How many of you struggle with brushing teeth? You just go, they're so lazy, I don't feel like brushing teeth. Oh no. How many struggle with bathing every day? It's automatic, you know, it's autopilot, they call it, right? It's just part and parcel. You wake up, you will just do it, and then you know that after the end of the day, you will just bathe, right? Make sure yourself is clean. When it comes to our physical being, we know things that we must do every day, and we will do it, and it's natural, and we enjoy it, and we know it's good for us. Sometimes, why is it that we fail to understand the same thing? What's there to struggle with our spiritual life, to do our quiet time every day, to chew and to learn of God's food, to eat and to drink of God's milk, and to drink and eat of God's meat in the Word of God? Why do we struggle? It has to be part of our life, and if we want today to say, let us grow up together in God's word. Let us move forward in Christ and grow up. We must make sure that each one of us do our part of duty and ensure that our quiet time is always regular. Now this is discipline. The Christian life is a life of discipline. And when you discipline your life, you find that it is part of your spiritual growth and life, and you will do it naturally. It's always about discipline. Doing things that you know you ought to do for the Lord. A lot of us are not disciplined. How to do it? Every time I hear people share, I never do it, I'm so busy, I'm so stressed out, I'm so tired, and we give ourselves lots of excuses. Why do we need to give ourselves excuses? Actually, we should tell ourselves, I'm wrong, I've sinned against God, I feel God, and I ought to change, and I ought to repent. And not to say, I'm very busy, I'm very tired, I'm very stressed out, and all these things I have to do. Discipline our life. I want to say this, that as a Christian, if you want to mature, if you want to grow up, you have to be a disciplined person. You know, every successful person in the world, they are all very disciplined, but in their own way. The Olympic Games is coming. Every one of them who participate in the Olympic Games, they were not sleeping the whole day. Every day, every right now, for years, 4 years one, the Olympic Games, 4 years one. They start training 4 years ago. They already start preparing, and they spend hours and hours and hours just to practice on their sport to get themselves perfect, to get themselves that medal. The world will go after that medal, just for that one Olympic medal. But for us Christians, we also must discipline our spiritual life. And I want to say this, discipline your spiritual life, discipline your Christian life, discipline your thought, discipline yourself, and then ensure that you grow in God's word. Someone asked me now, how to be a disciplined person? How to do that, Elder John? I got to discipline myself. I got to discipline myself. I'm preparing God's word, I'm preaching here. I spent the most every night last the whole week sleeping about 2-3 a.m. Why? Just to prepare, meditate on God's word. I guess I can't come here and with a blank piece of paper, and that's all I have. Yeah? Because of discipline, of course we pray, we depend on the Lord, we trust the Lord, but that's our human responsibility to do it. And I want to say a few things about discipline in your quiet time, that in a disciplined life, you can do it. And you start with small. Start with small things in your life. How to live, how to grow up to be, have a discipline. Let's start with small things. Look at yourself today. Look at your room. Look at your room. Go home and look at your room. Look at your table. Is it a mess? Did you throw things here, throw things there, and you don't know where you put all your things? Actually, that is part of indiscipline. Man. You start small. You start small. You grow up yourself to be disciplined. Make sure you put your things orderly, properly, neatly. Now, I'm just giving some practical training in your life. If you learn how to start small, ensure that your table, if you only you have this one table, ensure your table is neat, proper, put your things in order. If you have a room by yourself, ensure that your room is neatly packed. You know, this is part of discipline. When you put things in order, you discipline your life, and you know where all your things and it's neat, then you move to the second area. Discipline your life in your appointment. If someone tells you, let's meet at 10 a.m., don't fly kite, or don't come at 10:30. Discipline your life. This is practical discipline. Practical things, small things that you know that this is the time, and then make sure you arrive at the time. Right, Vijay? Right? That's good. She has improved a lot. Praise God. Actually, wonderful. And I think that is how we grow to have a disciplined life. Even as a Christian, we must discipline ourselves and make sure that even in small areas, in the appointment that we have, that we are to be there, that then we cannot make it a point to tell others, inform others, I'll be late, sorry, but don't make it a habit, always I'll be late. But you start with small things in your life and you can grow from that. And when you are given a deadline, whether by the church, right, the ACM report is coming, I received it from some of you, right? Before the day, right? Very good, right? And maybe it is by even your boss or even others, right? Something you have to submit. Discipline your life and make sure you complete it within the day, right? Don't say never mind, right? It's all rubber time, I'm flexible, don't do it's alright, right? Delay one day, it's alright, won't die, my boss won't be angry. It is not, it's discipline. If you cannot make it on time, inform the person, sorry, I'm busy with this, I need another one more day. But make sure that we say one more day, you do it within that one day. You see, this is a disciplined life. And a Christian life is actually a disciplined life, where we discipline ourselves also spiritually. I'm just giving you some practical examples that in the spiritual aspect, we can, and we must also do the same thing. And it is with our quiet time that I think we must move on. If you still struggle with your quiet time up to today, how old have you been a Christian? Tell me. 20 years already? 15 years? How old have you been? Since I 12 years already? Okay. And you're still telling everyone, oh, I cannot do my quiet time every day. Are we still like drinking a milk bottle? Only later in the area when you drink a milk bottle. But if an adult drinking a milk bottle, it is such a tactic. We must grow in our quiet time. We must settle this once and for all, discipline our life, and make sure it is just part and parcel of our Christian life. take up the word of God, to read God's word, to meditate upon it, pray for one another. Grow up, grow up. Therefore, chapter 6, verse 1 says, grow up, go on to maturity. Mature your faith, go on to perfection. It's time to grow in God's word. It's time to move on. You know, there are a lot of opportunities for us to learn God's word. And I want to say this, that it is such a wonderful thing all of you come to this hand, because this is where you have a lot of opportunity to study God's word. And I want to encourage you, go on. Don't give up coming to camp. I started coming to camp as a Christian since 1976, and up to today, 2012, I love being in camp to learn God's word. Come every week for Shomuri meeting. Why? Not because of the food, not because much of the fellowship, but more so you can learn God's word together. Go on, move on, don't give up. These are all wonderful opportunities. Every Sunday when you come and learn God's word, take it as an opportunity. I'm growing in God's word. Don't be dull of hearing, don't be lazy. Don't say, oh yeah, that speaker, I know, I can see, but the moment you tell yourself that, what are you doing? I'm dull of hearing, really, I'm dull of hearing, I switch up my mind, I'm lazy. The Bible says, go on to the profession, go on to be mature Christian, learn God's word. He said, I'm here learning God's word. I'm not learning from the man. I'm not following the man. I'm learning God's word. I want to study God's word. You know, when we are young, we love to have a big Bible. We're all proud of a big Bible. But today, people are proud of as small a Bible as you can get. Right? The smaller the Bible, you can get. Why? Because you don't want to carry a good big Bible to study God's word. I want to encourage you, if you have a good Bible, take a good Bible, underline your Bible, write down your notes in your Bible, learn all the verses as the speaker talk about God's word, anything that God taught your heart, write down, think about it, underline it. You know that God speaks to us in different ways. It can be this phrase, it can be this story, and God can work in different ways, but let us spend time, go on to the maturity, take every opportunity in the camp, take every opportunity in every Saturday, Shomuri meeting to learn God's word. I want to ask you to go on further, go to FBC night class if you can. Learn further and study God's word. And go on further, take the examination. Make sure that you can get your family today. I'm very encouraged by Sister Mei Jie. She took the first step of faith and she got her 2 credit units, right? Thank the Lord. Thank God that I graduated recently with 40 credit units. I'm waiting to attend Mei Jie's graduation with 40 credit units. But when I look back at my transcript, I realized that when I was a young adult, like you just got married, I was attending, I got all my credit. And after there was a break of about 10 years or so, I didn't attend, I have no credit at all. Until the last 5 years where I really pushed myself very hard. Take online course, every semester I take about 4 credit units to reach 40. And what happened to the 10 years? Because my children were born. And I had to spend time there, they were growing up years. And so there was a big gap. Of course, if you grow up, you get married, you have your children, you need to spend time, and there's like formative years. I believe the Lord understands that you may not be able to go to a night class, but of course, you still can continue to study gospel. But that was a gap in my life. But for you, as the Lord leads you, go on. Go on. Move on. The Bible says, go on. Let us go on unto perfection, unto maturity, unto the knowledge of God's word, unto the depth of God's word. Don't just stop at the camp. Don't just stop at the Shomuri meeting. Every worship service, go on, learn God's word. Go on to the FTBC in my class. Go on and study. Take the examination, get the credit. Learn God's word. Discipline yourself. And then you find that you really, really can have the depth and knowledge of God's word. And you're chewing the meat of God's word. Are you? Do you know God's word? If someone asks you today, I pray and I strike the hook and I will give my money 50% to God, what will you say to this Christian? So, a Christian, or someone who prayed to be a Christian. Praise the Lord! Can you say that? I'll just going to be rich, because you've got so much money. What are you going to say? Do you know God's word? Can I come to you and ask you about tongue speaking?
as tongue says, I spoke in tongue.
Someone say, I go to this miracle rally and I saw people get healed. And they say that a lot of people are healed. What would you say? Do you understand what the Bible says? Can you even explain the gospel? I took a long time to study about VPP, verbal pidgin frequency. You know, it's a big, big debate in the VP churches and cause such a big school. And why is it happening that VP church will take the position of the VPP set? I took the night class, I took the online course, I took time to read up, to study, to affirm what the Bible says, not what men say, not what FBBC has to say. Of course, we follow the standard FBBC, but it's not just what the institutions say or what this Dr. Raymond Quack. No, Raymond Quack is not God. It's not what he say. I want to know what the Bible says. And so, just had to take time to study, to learn and see for myself, is this the doctrine of the Bible? Would you also do that? Would you also spend time with God's Word to learn the depth of God's Word? And it's very sad that the next generation and our younger generation, I find that a lot of you are not chewing on the depth of God's Word, not spending enough time to know the need of God's Word. I want to say this, that you are the next generation leaders of Tabernacle BB Church. I want to say this, that there will be another doctrinal issue that will come up. I'm perhaps certain of that. Right now, of course, it's the preservation of God's Word. The next, there will be another battle to fight. Satan will never let go. There will be another battle to fight. And may be by then, under John, the Lord carries, right? I'll be old and Sina. And maybe. I'm not ready to know and to have all the knowledge and capacity. So you will be the leaders of Tabernacle BB Church. Some of you will be the leaders, and you will have to make a position for the church. Is this the doctrine from the Bible? And you will have no God's Word in order to make a position for the church. If you want, very easy. Just follow what the majority says. That's an error in the Bible. Yeah, because what? Come. Hey. What? Only 6-7 BB churches say no error. The rest, the 20 over BB churches say no error. So, follow majority, right? Safe and sound. Is it the way? No. So you will have the responsibility, dearly beloved, to now study also to know the Word of God, to know what the Bible says, and then to make a position for the church. I want to say very frankly to you, I'm very sad that in the adult, in the man, we have very few leaders. I mean, I just want to open my heart to say that in Tabernacle BB Church, I wish there are more adult men leaders in the adult group. But sadly, very few, hardly can find. And so my hope is in you. If the hope is in you, Ebenezer. Ebenezer, hope is in? The little R hope is in what? The Tabernacle Talks. What's it do? My hope is in you. Because you will be the next generation, next leaders of Tabernacle BB Church. And you can only be good leaders when you know God's Word. Understand that? You can only be good leaders when you know God's Word. And then later on, talk about faith, when you are men of faith. And that torch will have to be passed to you. And you have to start now. Don't wait until that moment that you are the deacon or the elder of the church, then you start to study the Bible. You're going to start now, you're going to start with the milk of God's Word, but don't say the milk of God's Word, don't be 1 times 10 equal 1. Right? Remember, 1 times 10 years equal 1. Don't be 1 times 10 years, 1 times 12 years equal 1. Right? You're still a baby, but now you mature, you grow, and you know God's Word, you spend time, and you, the Bible says, look at chapter 5 verse 12, chapter 5 verse 12 says, it is time for you to be what? When it's time for you to be what? Teachers! It's time for you to be, when for the time you ought to be teachers. Then you are still what? You are still a student, you are still a baby, you are still drinking the milk of God's Word. Time to grow up! Grow up in God's Word, time to be a teacher of God's Word. Time for you, after all, you have learned enough of God's Word, you have been bright, you have studied God's Word. Now you must be a teacher of God's Word. Move on to the maturity. Learn and acknowledge the depth of God's word, then go and be a teacher of God's word. Are you a teacher of God's word? Yeah, I teach type of course, I teach this, I teach this, I teach that. Do you really teach God's word faithfully, correctly? That's very important. You can't teach God's word until you know God's word. Until you yourself personally study, spend time with God's word. You and I must do that. Then you can be a teacher of God's word. But some of you may say to me, oh, I'm not gifted in teaching. It's alright. You may not be gifted, you may not be able to teach a proper Sunday school class like Catholic course, Little Arts, or the adult Sunday school, but you can still be a teacher of God's word to one person, to two persons, to anyone beside you who needs your help, who needs your guidance. You can still do that. A young person from Ebenezer or Little Arts will come to you and ask you a simple question, how to pray. You know the answer? How to pray. If you are a teacher of God's word, you can explain from the Bible how to pray. And so, you can be a teacher of God's word, not necessarily in the class, but if God has given you the gift this afternoon, we're going to talk about serving together, we're going to talk about spiritual gift. When God has given you the spiritual gift of teaching, and today you are sitting on it, you bury your gift under the ground, it's just like the servant, lazy, sorrowful, and you bury it, and you do nothing about it, one day God will require it of you. Why do you neglect your spiritual gift? I've given it to you. Why have you failed your duty? Number one, you fail because you don't study God's word enough. Number two, you fail because you don't exercise it, you don't teach it. The time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be teachers, you ought to be teaching God's word, and yet you are still drinking the meat of God's word. Would you grow up together, let's study God's word together, let's learn God's word together, let's go to the meat of God's word, let's be the teacher of God's word. Right? You're no more a kid. Right? All young adults, I'm going to reach 30, I'm going to reach a 3 already. Huh? I'm going to reach my 5 already. Think of it, quite scary. But don't be one times 10 years equal to one. Don't still be drinking God's word. Be a teacher of God's word. If God has given you the gift, go and teach somebody. Teach somebody the word of God. Spend time to be a teacher of God's word. I've seen and I know many Christians. They spend many time. I saw them in MBBC night class. I see them studying God's word. But all that the knowledge they have, they just put inside them. That's all. What's the point, I ask myself? You study, you learn very good. Actually, it's wonderful. But it's time for you to what? To give. It's time for you to impart. It's time for you to share to others. It's time for you to teach the little one the word of God, guide them to walk in the right spiritual way. The time we ought to be teachers. Go on to perfection. Go on to maturity. Go on to be a teacher of God's word. Go on. It would be wonderful to see each one of you taking the role of the teacher of God's word to our younger ones in the church. And I would be most happy to see some of you coming up and rising up to be a preacher of God's word. Some of you have a gift, I know that. But you have first to what? Put in effort to study God's word. You have to put in effort. You know, you look at chapter 5, verse 14. You see the word exercise, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses what? Exercise to discern good and both good and evil. The word exercise means what? Practice. Practice. Do it. Study. How do you be good in math? Tell me. The teacher will tell you what they're not. Practice, right? Then you're good in math. How do you pass and get a goal for 2.4? Right? Practice, keep running. How are you going to be a good teacher of God's word? How are you going to teach God's word? The Bible says the same thing. Your senses must be exercised, must practice, must study God's word, must put in the effort and learn God's word. I started preaching. I was given this assignment by my teacher when I was secondary 2. And the whole thing said, John, go and teach and preach. After I preached my first message, I prepared very hard. Preached my first message. See, everybody was sleeping and not paying attention. And they were so discouraged. I said, I'll never preach again. I'm never doing this time, right? That's the end. That's my first and last message.
Because nobody was paying attention. You know, outing the hardest to preach. Everybody was waiting to get distracted. I was so discouraged. But the Lord encouraged my heart. Right? I never give up. Since then, I continue to practice, exercise, practice, pray, seek the Lord, learn to preach gospel. Be a teacher of gospel. And I hope that we will grow together, number one, in this area. Grow on to, let us go on to perfection. Let us mature in the word of God. Let us be a teacher of God's word. Now I want to move on to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. When you turn to the second area that we must grow up together. I labor a long time to say, don't be dull, Gary. I spent a lot of time encouraging you today. It's time for us. Let us move on to the perfection of the maturity. Grow up in the Word of God. Now the second area that we must grow up in, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23. I'm going to put these two verses together because it talks about the same one area of growing up in faith. Chapter 10, verse 22, 23. Can we read these two verses together? Ready? One, two, go. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that He promised. Now, dearly beloved, the second area that we must grow up together spiritually is in our faith in the Lord. Remember when they chose the seven deacons in Acts, they were looking for what? Tall, dark, handsome men, or what? Men? They were looking for men or what? Remember if you read carefully, men of faith, men full of faith, it's always full of faith. And so if you want to be a leader, if you want to grow up together, if you want to be united together, then you and I must grow up in faith. In faith. As I spoke yesterday to you, many of us fail in faith. Grow up in faith. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23, it has both words. Let us draw near with a pure heart in full assurance of faith. And in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. The journey of faith, we must grow and be strong in faith. The journey of faith to heaven, we must not waver and give up. We must grow up in faith. Many of you are in the crossroad of life, of your job, your career. And I think this is an important area for you really to pray and to move on in faith. It's very important, but you must move on in faith. Should I stay on in this job? What is my next job? What is my next career? What should I do in my life? What is God's will for me? This is an important decision, and this is a decision that you must trust God and you must move and walk in faith. When I graduated from the university, like engineering, all engineers say the same way. Did I? Yeah, from different from business. Engineer, we are more square. I got a scholarship then, so I could work in the company for 4 years. So I finished my bond for 4 years. And after 4 years, I stayed on for one more year because of a project that I was doing. But in my heart, I was seeking God's will. I want to move on. I want to move on to teaching. I know that God has given me this desire to be in the teaching profession. And so I pray to the Lord, Lord, is it your will? I seek the Lord, and I make an application. We must say poly. They got an interview, they give me an offer, and I look at the offer, and I look at the salary. Huh? They offer me less than what I'm getting as an engineer. What should I do? But I know that God has put that burden, that desire, and God has opened the door. The salary is less, but if this is God's will, I must move by faith, trusting the Lord, that the Lord has plan for me that way. If I look at the money, I will not want to move. If I look at myself in my company, I was doing well there. And I know that they give me the promotion. In fact, I was already a senior engineer. I think they will give me higher appointment very soon. Because everybody seems to like me there. Seems to, right? I said, seems to, right? Maybe I presume. And everything was happily settled there in my previous job. My boss asked, what do you want to be? Got good prospect. But then, beloved, you must live a life of faith and follow where the Lord wants us to go. And pray as the Lord said, this is the way we move by faith, not knowing what will happen. And I stayed in the lecturer job for many years. After a while, my faith wavered. Because I got a bit discouraged. How come I'm still a lecturer? After lecturing for so many years, no appointment, no change. I'm still the poor old lecturer, or others have become manager, so on. I got a bit discouraged. And I struggled and I struggled. But the Lord said, I put you there for a purpose. Because the day by day passed me. And one day, I surrendered myself to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'll be happy for all my life to be a lecturer. I don't need to be a manager, I don't need to go up higher. I just want to serve you where you put me. And that's when I surrender and I say by faith, Lord, this is where you want, I live by faith. And all the struggle was gone. And after all the struggle was gone, then the Lord gave me new appointment and move on to the management path. See, God knows. Because it's settled in our heart, live by faith, trust God by faith in our job. So some of you are moving on, right, with a career, trusting, asking, where should I go? Do it by faith. Follow where the Lord wants you. Don't go by sight. Don't go because this is higher pay. Don't go because, wow, all the baggages, all the attraction. Go where the Lord leads you. You pray, you seek the Lord, you know where the Lord wants you. And you go by faith, trusting God. Growing in faith. This is growing in faith in the Lord. The second aspect of your life, as young adult, it will trouble you a lot, is relationship, finding a life partner. Ah, I'm not talking about this, I'm malu, right? No need to be malu, right? I know, because I went through it, I was a young person before, I was a young adult before, and I'm still young, right? I know that this second area will also trouble you a lot, right? The job will trouble you a lot, because that's a serious, that's an important decision, the cost of your life. The second area will trouble you a lot is relationship. A life partner. Is this the right partner that is right for me? Should I move? Should I do it? And what will happen to me? I made many mistakes in my life in relationship. I'm sad to tell you that, but I want to tell you that because many times I rush into it. I don't go by faith, don't pray enough, don't seek the Lord and depend on the Lord. And you end up knocking your head. But I just rush to it, you know, that pretty girl with a nice hair, with a big nose, you know, that's it. You're just attracted by, by some certain thing. And we fail to go by faith, trusting the Lord. Lord, is this the person? Is this the right person for my life? Is this the right life partner? So I want to encourage you, don't go for appearance, just don't rush into this area in your life. Pray to the Lord, live by faith, trusting the Lord knows best, and grow in faith that the Lord will give you the right person at the right time. Grow in faith in this area. If you have to be single, if it's lost, you'll thank the Lord for it. But you never know. Never know the right person that will come. But pray, go by faith, live by faith, trust the Lord by faith in relationship. I've seen so many who punch the relationship and end up in a lot of trouble. Some go into it with non-believers and end up in misery. One of the saddest person that I know is one of my friends. I think she came to have a medical disappeared. I think she has a lot of mental problems now.
He married and goes for a woman tender. We went and we prayed, but don't marry this woman tenderly. But he's a nice man. He treated me very nice. Really nice at time. Really nice. Until get married. After get married, persecuted her as a Christian, persecuted her faith, stopped her from going to church, make her go to the Roman Catholic and have a child, a baby, also did the same thing to her. And then I think she has some mental breakdown. It's not stable in her life. It's very sad. And so, dearly beloved, in relationship, grow in faith, move on in faith, trust the Lord. Don't go for appearance, don't go for someone who just treats you nice now. Grow up together in faith. And that's what the book of Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 22 and verse 23 tells us. Look at verse 22. The Lord tells us, be strong in our faith. Grow up together in faith. Let us draw near with a pure heart in the full assurance of faith. Dearly beloved, grow up in the life, grow up with full assurance of faith. Full assurance. God is there, God will take care of you, God will watch over you. Has God ever failed you in your life? Ask yourself this question, has God ever failed you? 12 years as a Christian, God has never failed you, God has always taken care of you. Will God not help you in your job? Will God not help you and lead you in your relationship? Ask yourself this question, surely He will do that. So the Bible says, let us have the full assurance of faith. Let us be strong in the faith, have the full assurance of faith in the Lord. Full heart of faith. Draw near to God. How to be full assurance? How to have a strong faith in the Lord? In verse 22, number one, draw near to God. Always draw near to God. Spend time with God. Draw near, as I emphasize, go quiet time. Spend time with the Lord. Seek the Lord. Draw near to the Lord. Secondly, go to the Lord with a what? Draw near with a true heart. What is a true heart? Be sincere to God. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be pretentious. Don't always tell the Lord, I'm good, I'm righteous. The Bible says in verse 22, how to have a true heart before the Lord, having our hearts what? Sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You want to be strong in faith, you want to grow in faith, dearly beloved. Number one, draw near to God. Number two, make sure our heart is true before the Lord. To have a true heart means to have a cleansed heart. To ask the Lord for forgiveness. So every time we seek the Lord, Lord, please forgive my sin. This is something that we must always ask the Lord for, because our heart is desperately wicked. Every time we come to the Lord's supper, what do you do? Lord, forgive my sin. I'm a sinner and I need you. Then we have a true heart. That's how your faith can be strong. And then remember, the Lord will take care of you. Grow in faith. Grow in faith. The Lord will watch over you. You know, this is how great God is. When God looks at Adam, all to the last Christian, he's going to be saved on his own. God can see at one blow each one of our life, from the millions of people, every one of us individually, from the start and the end. God knows everything. That's our loving Heavenly Father. It's how great, how wonderful He is. When He looks at you, He knows you from the beginning, and He knows your entire life. And so we must be strong, we must draw near to God, trust Him in our life. We must come before the Lord with a true heart, with a cleansed heart, ask the Lord for forgiveness, ask the Lord for strength, ask the Lord to help us. I forgot to tell you one more story about my life. At one point in my job, I was also very unhappy. I wanted a change. And so I applied for a post in another institution. I thought, I'm a deputy director at Temasek Poly. Surely this job will at least give me a chance for interview. Straight away they replied me after I put in my resume and everything. They're not selected or no interview at all. Very humbled me. I'm such a lousy person. And all my qualification is nothing. But I know that God has closed the door with a purpose, and God wants me to remain in Temasek Poly. 6 months later, this institution closed up. Closed up, really closed up.
If I had been appointed and given a job, I would have lost my job within 6 months. I cannot see. I was angry for a while. I prayed to the Lord, asked the Lord help me. Ask the Lord, draw close to the Lord. Lord, if it's your will, not your will, it's alright. I learned to accept it. You know everything. And God knows everything. And so, it's more or less settled my heart. This is where God wants me to be in His school. Sometimes you get tempted. Sometimes you get very good. And our faith gets very good. Look at verse 23. And that's how it is. And we've got to be strong in faith. We've got to draw near to God. We've got to come before the Lord. We've got pure, with a true heart, with a cleansed heart. But what happened in verse 23? It tells us that let us hold fast the profession of our faith. For without wavering, that's the problem. It's not easy. If you want to be strong in faith, if you want to trust the Lord all the time in our life, and you want to grow in faith, you want to be fervent, you want to be really have the full assurance of faith, but the problem with us is that we will waver. We will get affected sometimes. And so the Bible tells us in verse 23, hold fast! Don't let go! Hold on to your faith, trust the Lord, cling on to the Lord. That's the word. Let us do it together. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Look at Prophet Elijah, such wonderful faith, trust the Lord. Overcome and Mount Carmel, the 440 prophets of Baal. Did he hold fast to his faith? No. After the great victory, Queen Jezebel threatened him, I'm going to kill your life. He ran for his life. His faith dropped from the highest point to the lowest point. Because you and I have this problem. It's not easy to hold fast, hold on to fervent faith, hold on to strong faith in the Lord. So the Bible says, hold on, don't let go, don't let it come, and don't forsake it, don't waver. Don't waver. Grow together in faith. Grow together in faith. You know what will cause us to waver? The world will come in. The things of the world will attack us and we will waver. It's very easy. The lust of the flesh. It's very easy to fall into the sexual sin. It's very easy in the lust of the flesh and our faith will fall. Our faith will just drop. All the pornographic sites, all the magazines, the last of the flesh will attract us. Our world, his world, our world, whatever world you're doing, all right? I don't know whether they have that or not. The last of the flesh, they're so tempted. The last of the flesh, the last of the eyes. I want more of this world, right? The eye gate. I want more of this world. It attracts me. I want the world. The pride of life. The world will come. And our faith will waver, our faith will just waver. Our faith will drop and be tempted by the world. Problems, discouragement will also cause our faith to waver. When you face trials and difficulties in life, it's so easy that our faith will just go down. One of the hardest times in my life, when I was in UK studying for my master's degree, all alone, the family, Rachel was 1 year old only, dad, Esther was just born 3 months later. In 1 week, everyone was sick. Mimi was sick, lying away the whole time doing nothing. Remember, you're sick, right? Baby was sick, Rachel was sick, vomiting every time. Esther was also sick, vomiting, come drink it, warm it up. Except me. Then that week, I got all my results. I failed one of the subjects. Not failed one of the assignments. That is a very important assignment that affects the high marks for the subject. I was so discouraged. Here I was struggling with my study, looking after two sick baby, and sick wife on the bed, not doing anything. And I cried and I nearly gave up. Like a bag of home. When you face with the most tremendous difficulties and everything seems to be against you, every trial seems to be going worse and worse, the faith just seems not to waver. The faith won't keep on. Trials, problems come. But now I look back. How did I survive? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. God's grace. Remember yesterday's message?
God's grace is there in time of our need.
Even the deepest, the most trying circumstances, the hardest thing that ever come to our life,
God's grace is sufficient. And I look back and say, God's grace is sufficient. So no matter what you face, trials, problems, difficulties, maybe some of you are facing now, you may not be able to share out. And that your faith seems to be wavering, wavering. The Bible says, hold fast the profession of faith. We must grow up together in faith. Hold fast, grow, be strong in faith, have a full assurance of faith. Grow up without wavering in your faith in the Lord. Hold fast to the Lord. Whatever difficulty, whatever trials, however severe the circumstances come to you, hold fast the profession of faith. God is faithful, the Bible says. Look at verse 23. God is faithful. The one who is faithful, the one who never fails us, the one whose grace is always sufficient is God, and He is faithful. He promised us He never fails us. And that's what God can do. I want to end this message by asking you to turn to Matthew chapter 14, verse 31, because this is where the apostle, the disciple Peter, he got a review from the Lord. I want to add up this message. Maybe the Lord is also rebuking us the same way. Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. What was the review? You know, when the disciples, they get rebuked by the Lord Jesus, they get lessons learned from the Lord Jesus, it's also for us to learn. Matthew chapter 14. Oh, sorry. Verse 31, let's read together. Ready, go. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now this is what I want to conclude my message today with. Is that we ought to grow in faith, we ought to be strong in faith, we ought to have the full assurance of faith, our faith ought to not waver, and our faith, we ought to hold fast to it. And yet, so often, today, will you hear Jesus telling you, O thou of little faith, why do you doubt me? O thou of little faith, grow up, dearly beloved. Peter was revealed, we know this incident, he fell into the water. Why was he of little faith? This was Peter. You know this is Peter. Peter, the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one that is supposed to have the greatest faith, the number one disciple, the king. It's just like all of you here, compared to the young ones, you ought to have more faith. You ought to be the best and growing in faith. And yet Jesus said to Peter, you are of little faith. Why was he of little faith? Because if you look carefully, I just want to spend very quickly with you. If you look carefully in verse 28, look at verse 28. He was too eager. He was too eager to look for sign. Verse 28, he told the Lord Jesus, if it be thou, Lord, if it's really you, then let me go. You know, when you are of little faith, you don't trust the Lord. You want to look at sign. Give me this, show me this, then I believe you. That's all. If the Lord, if it's really you, then I'll do it. This is a sign of weak faith. And then in verse 28, he says again what? A sign of weak faith is that he has too high opinion of himself. He said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, if it's really you, I want to show, give me a sign, I want circumstances, I want to see all the good things first. And then he said what? Beat me. He didn't say beat my friend John or James. He said beat me. He has too high opinion of himself. When you have too high opinion of yourself, you are going to be on weak faith. Listen, Peter was saying, beat me. I'm the one fit to walk in the water. I don't think my other disciples is fit enough. I'm the one who's the best. He thinks too high of himself, and that's why he dropped right into the water. And then, and you look at verse 30. Why is it Jesus rebuked him of little faith? He said, look at verse 30, he was looking at what? He was looking at the wind, the wave, and he said, weak faith is always affected by surrounding, always affected by circumstances. Your faith is weak, but you're always affected by circumstances. My job. My boss. My problem. My relationship. No, you're just too affected by surrounding. You're never looking at Christ. And that's what happened to Peter. All down of little faith. And lastly, weak faith, when you look carefully at Peter,
He was so high at one time while walking on the water. The next moment, he went down into the water. Weak faith is like a pendulum, always swinging up and down. You hear a Christian I was sharing, right? My faith is up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Don't be proud of it. This is weak faith, man. This is weak faith. This is not strong faith. This is not full assurance of faith. It has to grow up in faith. So this morning, we have learned, grow up in God's faith. Grow up. Don't drink yet. Try and chew on it. Secondly, grow up in faith together. We have to move together to grow up, to learn God's word, to be a teacher of God's word. Grow up together, dearly beloved, strong in faith without wavering. Don't give up. Hold fast. Don't have weak faith. Don't be proud of your weak faith. Don't say it's up and down, it's good enough. It's not good enough. God says, go on. To maturity. Go on. We are full assurance of faith without wavering. Let's pray together. Just like you to spend a short time on your own first. The Lord has spoken to your heart. Don't be doubt hearing. Today, if you will hear my voice, Jesus said to you, pardon, not me. Maybe there's one area that you need to pray and ask for compassion, repentance of sin. Ask the Lord for a resolve in His Word, to grow in His Word together, to grow in faith together. Ask about, talk to the Lord first. Tell the Lord, open your heart. Father in heaven, we thank you that we learn your word together. How long we hear the same rebuke that Peter heard from Jesus. Oh, thou of little faith. How long we hear the same rebuke that the Hebrew Christians receive. That they are thou of you. They're just drinking the milk of God's soul. Lord, today we come, we pray for forgiveness of our sin. We do not want to hide and pretend, Lord, that we are well and good in our spiritual life, in our faith, in our knowledge of God's word, in our quiet time. Lord, we are filthy, Lord. We have always been affected in our faith by circumstances, by surroundings. We have not been strong in faith. We have often wavered, but today we pray, we have learned from your word. We want to improve, Lord. We want to grow, Lord, in your word. We want to learn your word. We want to know the depth of your word. We want to be a teacher of your word. Chew the meat of your word, O Lord. Lord, we desire, Lord, to be strong in faith, Lord, without wavering. Lord, may thou grant this spiritual desire from our heart. And Lord, together as a group, together with one another, Lord, we will grow in your word and in faith. Help us, Lord, that it will come to pass, Lord. Help us, Lord, that it will be real in our life, Lord. Not just today, but all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.